Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. And people, you better not be complaining about this beautiful weather. All the rain and all the cold we've been through. I need to see everybody outside the moment this show ends. And if you have a phone, take the phone outside with you and enjoy it. Steve Rummage is on vacation. Brian Hall in the booth.
Yes, he is. He's in Vegas. I saw some of his pictures yesterday, actually, and pretty jealous, not going to lie. Been a while since I've been to Vegas, and last time I went to Vegas, it was an all-guys trip. There were 16 of us, and we stayed at the Bellagio.
Right.
And I got to admit that the Bellagio Sportsbook is somewhere that I could probably spend 24/7. The Bellagio Sportsbook is just off the casino in the lobby of the hotel, and basically you go in and half of it has like lazy boys, and the other half is set up like desks where you can like sit and you could put like a computer up there, and you can have a little mini screen where you can watch your own. But then you look up and there's like six gigantic TVs surrounded by hundreds of little TVs, and pretty much every sporting event going on in the world, there is a TV for it.
Is it hard to maintain focus?
Say that again?
Is it hard to maintain focus?
It is, because like I get distracted because people start yelling randomly. And it's like, what TV are they watching? But like, and under the TVs, they have like teller windows set up, kind of like you would see at Churchill Downs. And you can just walk up at any point, bet on anything you want, and like I said, they'll point you to the TV and be like, all right, it's on that TV over there. And not to mention, when you're in Vegas, as long as you're gambling, while you're sitting in those lazy boys in those desks, you get free drinks, and there are servers walking around, and you don't even have to get up. You can just sit there, bet on your sporting events, watch them all, and get free drinks.
Do you feel the oxygen being pumped into the building simultaneously?
100%. Like, it's one of those things where the oxygen being pumped into the casinos is no lie, because you get out to Vegas, you lose track of time, and it's literally the city that never sleeps.
Like, it says no clocks. I last time I went, I wasn't really, you know, a cocktail guy, so I wasn't really paying much attention to the free drink part of it, so.
Well, but the oxygen, though, like, you'll get to like 3 or 4 a.m. and you'll be like, what is going on? Like, you're like, I'm wide awake. Like, I'm not tired at all.
So Steve joined on the live last night, and when Steve made an appearance, it was so add this for humor, Brian. Brian, we got to get you headphones today. You got to get some headphones today. You hear me?
Yeah.
You have to get a one-ear headphone or something at the very least today. No, seriously. Today, Brian, is the day. You have got to have some sound going into your ear.
I got one down here.
Okay.
I just got to get an adapter for it.
Okay, point being, Steve joined at 12 o'clock last night. He joined the live show, the late night live show.
He was wide awake.
Brian, he had on sunglasses.
Was he outside?
No. He was in his hotel room.
So wait, midnight here was what, like
8, 9? Yep, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
So is the sun still out or no?
I don't know. But the aesthetics of Steve Brummage joining a midnight show on the stream was awesome. It was a good experience. So he said, listen, he might get up and he might join us. He might loose in for a second or two, but I'll leave that up to him, 100% up to him. So we got some stuff on the docket today. Press conference / media availability yesterday. Malik Cunningham, every time, whether or not you want to enjoy it or you want to pick at him, Malik Cunningham for the moment is your quarterback. Malik Cunningham is scaring off potential non-starting quarterbacks. And so we're going to, I believe Brian does have some sound sheet clipped up. We're going to take a few highlights from some of the conversation that was Malik Williams yesterday. Of course, I got some big macro college football playoff effects. I'm going to go Uncle OG Maben for a few minutes at some point during the show today. We have a TBT announcement, by the way, at 11 o'clock. Keith Otto will be joining us. The final roster is set to be released at 11 o'clock, or no, I'm sorry, 12 o'clock midnight. So he wanted me to pass that along to everybody. There will be the final roster announcement. He'll be tweeting it out at midnight, so be prepared for that. He will be joining us at 11 o'clock for a particular announcement. I just put that over here. There's another thing. And a side note today, just a complete side note. Traffic score this morning, D-. Lady in the white van. I am not a honk my horn guy. I realize that the Gene Snyder is not the Autobahn in Germany. But lady, you had me close this morning. You had me extremely close to being that guy, and I was uncomfortable with how angry and how you were just pulling up next to cars and going the exact speed as the car in the right lane, and you wouldn't let anybody pass you on the right, and you kept on speeding up just so people could, I don't know what you were going through, and when I finally looked in that van and looked at your face, the things that went through my mind, it was one of those, I needed a higher power to bring me down. D- on traffic score today, Brian. That put me, but here's the thing, Brian.
I was coming from Indiana.
So what would you grade your traffic score on the way in?
Pretty slow. It was one of those things where, I mean, there's not a lot of traffic till you get on the interstate.
Were they just getting in your way? Is that, I mean, slow?
I'm coming from Sellers,
bro. What's the letter grade you would give the drivers around you?
Oh, ooh. I would
because I gave a D-.
I'd say maybe like a C. Maybe a B-. I'd say a B-. It wasn't terrible today. I wasn't upset with anybody or nobody slowed me down. But there is that, like, kind of when you get to the country roads, mm-hmm. there's that laid-back lifestyle, and there's all the older kind of retired people who just they have nothing to do.
And you're on a two-lane road
of the essence.
And you're on a two-lane road.
Yeah, well, there's two lane roads till the interstate, and that's when you get the country folk that are like, oh, you know, like la di da di. I don't have anywhere to be today, and
right.
I'm like, that's great and all, but I'm in a hurry. Like, I need to get to work. But outside of the drive distance, you know, like, I mean, I'm 25 minutes from work, but once I finally, but the drive, it's not bad.
Definitely score. Former U of L player, apparently in trouble. We're going to have to talk about that at some point. I don't know if that made the Sports Center just yet. But grade, definitely D- grade on the traffic. One other thing, Brian, I want to ask this. I want to kind of set up the question. This is going to be one of the fun questions throughout the show. So, Brian, you and I both know a particular business, right? You know the manager of this particular business. So today, because I have to criticize a bit, I'm not going to mention the certain business. But if people who know, you know. So, Brian, I went to our favorite car wash this morning.
Yes.
Don't say the name. I went through the car wash. I just got the you know, the quick $5. $5. Give me, just knock off the dust, right?
Yeah.
So, Brian, I go through this car wash, right? The first two don't touch my car. The first two, they don't touch my car at all. Like, they're not even spinning anywhere near, not even, and I mean not touching the car, right?
Okay.
I'm like, okay, you know, it is the $5 one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's certain things that are on and off.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. So I go to the next one, right? I get a couple of little drops of look like to be soap. I don't know if it was like the pre-wetting of the car.
I already know where you're going with this.
It was basically nothing, Brian. What? Why do you always want to jump to the finish line, Brian?
I've worked at this place before, so I know what the issue is.
Listen, I don't get that one, right? So I keep on going. I'm not getting that sprinkle. I'm not getting the rinse sprinkle. I'm not getting any of those sprinkles. So now my car is just a little wet, and I'm just kind of driving through, and I'm waiting for, okay, I understand that this is a basic wash, right? So I'm going, and then, like, now the things are complete. Like, nothing is touching my car, right, at all. So the one thing that touched my car is the hanging, just the hanging little drape-looking things, right? So my car pulls through that, and that's the only thing that touches my car outside of that first little pre water droplets, right? So when I get through this, I'm like,
I need to talk to somebody.
Listen, no, because you know me. I'm like, well, I did get a little bit of spray, and I'm like, maybe they just changed the basic wash to just a rinse, and you don't even get the you don't even get the propellers, and you don't get none of that stuff. So I'm really thinking, Brian, like, maybe that is it. So as I'm hitting the edge, I'm like, surely something's going to physically touch this car, right? Brian,
nothing
touched the car. And I'm just having that moment like.
Did you go talk to somebody?
Slow down,
I already know the end result. That's why I want to.
You are worse than a lady friend of mine. Just, babe, let me. I can see myself now. Baby, let me build up the anticipation. Let me build this story up. It's not just for you, Brian. It's for the millions of listeners of Midday with Marcus Maben. We have to be good storytellers on air. So, Brian, as I'm exiting, I'm just hoping that green light ain't about to come on. Like, that green light better not even come on and tell me I'm finishing my thing.
The green light that you're talking about at the end of the tunnel exit, that tells you, like, okay, your wash is over, hit your gas, take it out of neutral.
Okay, so I particularly got out of the house early. So it was one of those, Marcus, you got to get to work. You know, you got to get to work. You got to get, you know, set up. You got to get going. So I was having that moment. And then there was a car behind me. And you know how you can exit to the street or you can exit to pull back around. And I'm just having that moment. And I don't want to pull out. And it's killing me, Brian, because I'm like, okay, this $5. Like, I'll come back later, you know what I'm saying? And you know, maybe I'll talk to somebody. And I'll just get to work, you know what I'm saying? And, Brian, I pulled about 70% out into that street. And I just whipped it back around. I was like, hell no, right? So I pulled back around. No cars was coming, so I pulled up right back around to my little, you know, the little lady who was at the thing, and I was like, listen, not one brush touched my car and during that basic wash. And she was like, yeah, the basic, it doesn't do anything special. And she's telling me it doesn't do anything special, right? And I'm like, I understand that. But it didn't touch my car at all, right?
Brushes still touch the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? And she's like, I'm sorry, sir. Like, so it's one of the moments like, okay, now I can't take this loss. I cannot take this loss. I'm getting ready to fully stop traffic now. She gets on her earpiece, right? She asked me would I like to get a upgraded watch. I'm like, no. No, I'm not getting an upgraded watch. I said, I've gotten this watch 1,000 times. The brushes touch the car on this. And she's kind of like trying to wake me up. And I just, I can't.
This is really bad that she doesn't know what's going on, and I know what the issue is.
Okay. At the end, you'll have to acknowledge the issue, right? So then she goes back, and she goes, like, it's irritating, too, because she's walking far away to get on the earpiece. Like, girl, I can't hear whoever's talking to you in the earpiece. I don't know what y'all got going. So anyway, she walks away again on the earpiece. She comes back, and then she, like, with a defeated look, she opens the gate up, right? And I'm like, you know, thank you very much. You know what I'm saying? So I pull up, you know, pull around. My guy comes out with the curly hair, and he's like, yeah, man, the
JC, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, man, the basic wash, you know, it doesn't really, you know, do much to the car. I said, listen, man, I've been through the basic wash 1,000 times. And he was like, yeah, but a lot of people say, and I'm just like, dude, like, now I'm just like, come on. Like,
it's the spiel that they're told to say.
I bet. I'm sure people complain about it, not like knocking off chunks of dirt. And
oh, you'd be surprised how many people like actually get the wash they're supposed to get. They come through and they complain, and yep. They just basically try to cheat the system so they can run their car through again a second time.
Right. So I felt that, Brian, and I'm just like, I understood them. I had empathy for what they were doing because I know people, complain like that. But I'm like, no, I didn't get the basic wash, right? And then he said, okay, well, I'll just put you down for lava, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? So you can go through.
Lava shine.
Yeah, nice lava shine, you know. And ironically, I haven't even looked at my car to see if it was nice, but I know the lava shine's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have got that before. So he says that. I'm like, I'm good to go. But I'm still feeling a little judged, like I'm trying to get one over. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. So at the end of the day, Brian, that was one of those. I was mad because it kind of put me behind schedule. I was mad about feeling judged, you know what I'm saying, on trying to cheapskate them. But I was proud of myself for going through the frustration of. So what was the problem? Did she just not hit the button?
All right, so there's two things. First off, if my buddy was there, who is actually the general manager of the place, he's actually in Florida right now.
Fair enough.
If he were, he would have came out and knew who you were, and it wouldn't have been an issue at all because they see the names when you use your pass.
Mm-hmm.
So you use your pass, they know who you are.
I didn't use the pass, though. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, because I was going to say, would have popped up your name, and my buddy would have been like, oh, no, he's good. Like, send him back through. But he's gone, number one. Number two, they have these retract buttons, okay, and they're set up for, say, like a car who has a cracked windshield is coming through.
Uh-huh.
They can hit a button on the computer, and it will pull the things that would hit your windshield.
Yep.
So it'll do the rest of the car, but it won't touch your windshield. Some people do that on their wheels.
Uh-huh.
Some people do it if they have like a tire on the back of their car, like a Jeep would.
Yep.
Different things like that, they hit different retract buttons, and there is a full retract button that you can hit, and it pulls all the brushes, and you just ride through, basically, and they squirt the stuff on you. And it's basically like a touchless car wash, because some people don't like the brushes hitting their car because they think that they leave streaks or whatever.
Right.
So some people literally go through and retract everything and just have the soap and water kind of come through the car. And then they use the dryer at the end.
Right.
So my guess is that the person before you wanted the retract button, they hit it, and for some reason it stuck on your car too. But you had a full retract where the brushes weren't supposed to touch your car.
A full retract on a basic wash was nothing.
It was water.
If that.
Water,
like,
and a little bit of soap.
Like, I don't even know how much of a spray. But I was like, I am really, really glad that I took the time to go back to that place. Because I would have been stewing on that. I guess I am still kind of stewing on it.
If it makes you feel any better, though, like you said, this happens all the time. It probably, JC, the manager who you talk to, probably has to come out to a car like that on average at least once or twice an hour. So, like, you're
okay.
Just one of a number. And it's one of those things where, he's not even thinking about it because there's so – but you're right. You would be surprised. So many people – and the funny thing is when you get the same person who does it, like,
once
a week,
okay,
and you're
yep.
like, dude, you know what you paid for. Like, this is what the wash does. Why do every time you get it, you swing back around and expect us to run you back through again?
Yeah, that was this morning. Okay, so, Brian, when was the last time you felt like a jerk on returning something or going to complain? Because I did feel, like, jerky at the end of the day.
Oh, I always hate that. Like, the worst is...
And callers. 8150-939. Texters, I'm curious on that. 3831-939. Give me a time that you just felt like a jerk. Just, I got to complain about this today.
This is not necessarily me feeling like a jerk. This is where I feel embarrassed for somebody else, like, doing it. And it's when you go to a steak restaurant and... significant other likes steak certain way, and very picky about it. I'll just go ahead and say that. And so, like, if the steak's not the right way, she is the person who will ask them to take the steak back. I hate that.
It's funny. The biggest thing missing from my life for times that I am single or like that, I miss the complaining lady friend more than anything, because they're the only ones that'll complain.
Right.
She has
no remorse about it.
Dudes in general just don't complain enough about bad service or bad, you know, something like that. I do miss that defense.
And it's a thing where, like, I totally understand her standpoint. It's like, hey, if we're going to pay, you know, $20 for a steak dinner, let's make sure that we're going to enjoy it.
Right.
And it's going to be something good. But at the same time, it's like that moment when she brings it up to the server and I just kind of, like, put my head down and I'm like, well, cause I'll be honest. Like, I'm the guy that I can eat steak from medium rare all the way to well done.
Yep.
And so it's like, you know, I order it medium and whatever it comes out, I'm like, it's fine. I'll eat it.
Yeah. Whatever. Right.
Like,
right. Right.
It's good. It's steak.
It's
I like
steak,
it.
Yeah. Right.
But she likes it cooked a certain way, and I always know, like, what's going through that server's mind. Like, they're like, oh, this is I hate this table, you know, like, and I'm like, all right, I don't know what to do here, because I get where she's coming from too.
Grab that. No, I am honest to God serious, people. Listen, the lack of my ability to return products, especially food products. Or if you pay for a service, like if I get, you know, like I say, if I get a car wash or hand wash, or just, you know, just stuff like that, I am just the worst, because I know everybody's work. I just assume that people are trying to do the best job they can. Who do we got on that?
Well, one other one, too, that you get kind of like, the car wash was always a place that got picky, but the people that kind of like do that is when you're messing with people's personal stuff. So, like, haircuts, lawn care, you know, people who do house cleaning.
Yep.
Those people get nitpicked all the time.
We got on a lot. Albert, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Hey, what's up?
Feeling good.
All right, it's Albert C. from Midnight Crew.
Appreciate you finally jumping in on the day show.
Oh, yeah, man, I had a chance. I wanted to tell you last night how good the show was yesterday, but, you know, like I said, I fell asleep. But
you didn't fall asleep before Steve jumped in, did you?
No, I woke up just in time for Steve, man. That was great. He was like a Terminator with them glasses on.
Right.
Yeah, man, but I just wanted to call in and let you know I appreciate you guys standing up for real U of L fans. And I think that the movement is growing. Everybody's ready to stand up for themselves and start calling some of these people, these shows, on what they're doing to our university.
Look, Albert, I appreciate that call, man. You listen, enjoy your drive. Enjoy your ride this morning. We'll definitely get back to you.
I will
call.
Talk to you later.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had fun on the night. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get some, I think we might have to catch up on this breaking news really quick. We're going to get the Malik Cunningham, because the Malik Cunningham conversation is going to lead into expectations and grades for this team in certain ways. Quick commercial break. Good little reset. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I'm like, Diener and Satterfield, what are we talking about here? So here's what I want to do. First and foremost, I didn't mention it. I didn't want to dodge it like I was mentioning it. Shoni Schimmel getting in a little troubles. Looks like she has some domestic things. I'll wait till I get all the details on it. It says she was arrested yesterday. Some brouhaha. Outside, she's 29. Man, Tom, $50,000 bail. Oh my God, she has 2,000. Man, she can still do no wrong to the Louisville fan base, huh? I don't even think the Louisville fan base would read that and think it's her fault. It has to be somebody else's fault. So here's what we want to do. I'm going to. Malik Cunningham joined the media yesterday for media availability. I want to, before we get into that part of it, I want to kind of give a confidence tier grade on Malik. Good first year, poor second year with the turnovers. It's difficult for you to say, okay, good Malik grade versus bad Malik grade. Brian Hall. If you were to say, you're actually on the phone. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, well, listeners and callers, I'll play this game with you. When Malik is good Malik, what do you grade him? Like, what is his top side? And you know, good Malik, that, like I said, you can use his numbers. You can use his deep pass. You can do his short range. You can add in his running. You could just give me a quick good Malik score or good Malik grade, and I want you to give me a bad Malik grade. I was kind of
so good and bad grades what I heard.
Yeah, okay. I'll catch you up, Brian. I want a good Malik score and a bad Malik score. When Malik is good Malik, what's his grade as a quarterback overall, his career grade as a quarterback on good Malik days?
When he is good,
yeah,
I'd say he's a B+.
He's a B+. His good Malik is B+.
He's a solid quarterback. He's a guy that can win some games for you when he's playing at his best. But he's not. It's not going to win you a Heisman Trophy. He's not going to be the superstar that's a definite first round pick in the NFL draft. He's a guy that. If he played his best every game, he'd be probably at best a mid-round selection.
Why are we grading him on draft ability, though? No, I mean it's a fair thing with what you're doing, but it's like Tebow what he would rank as a college quarterback versus an NFL. Like, you know, well, Steve might not agree, but I in particular thought Tebow, you know. As a college quarterback, was a great college quarterback, you know, for what for what his team needed. There's plenty of guys that I think are good for the college game, but not good for the pro game. So I didn't want to bring in the grades, or I want people to fight their urge to use draft stock as one of the grading factors. I'm just talking about your guy winning games at the college level in your offense. Because I think, in my opinion, Malik Cunningham, with his speed, he's not elusive, though, but his pure speed, and I think he's a four-star as well. Like,
he was a four-star.
Yeah, so Malik's pure speed and kind of playmaking when he gets loose is an A-minus when he's good Malik. Because I did.
Are you strictly talking about his running ability?
Running.
Because running ability I would put higher.
No. I'm not even breaking him up. I'm going overall when he's a good Malik. Because here, the reason I say A-minus is good Malik's deep ball, when he's hitting, he's hitting.
Yeah, he's accurate.
Yeah, he's accurate.
When he's accurate.
Okay. His speed, his running ability, his deep ball, right? I think he does a good job of waiting till the last minute to make a decision, you know, like some, when he's good Malik, you know, when he's trying to be confident Malik. I think he does enough things to be a good quarterback, to be the reason you win. So I agree with you there. Bad, even though good Malik, his timing on his slant still aren't good. I don't feel comfortable. I'm always doing a sigh of relief, right? Mm-hmm. So, I still put him at A, maybe A minus minus. Good Malik is A minus.
Well, the B plus is partly because even when Malik's at his best, I'm kind of on the opposite end with his decision making, and in the sense of his decision,
you know what,
to
right.
whether to pass the ball or
you're
tuck
right,
it and run.
You're
that's
right.
My issue.
You brought me down to a B plus. Yeah, because a lot of times in short yardage situations, he does not give up the ball the right way. You're right.
So like that's my biggest issue with Malik is when he drops back, he sometimes doesn't give the play enough time to throw, and he's already like, I'm running, and just takes off.
Yeah, I will give you that. You know what? I was going A minus because I was giving his deep ball and his speed, you know, a lot of credit. But you're right. I have to cut back some points because how many times where we're just like, just give your running back the ball and let him
score. Like he's a guy who does read one, read two, and then and real fast. And if they're not there, he's like, I'm done. I'm off. He doesn't even hit read three. He's
I don't
just
even
like,
know.
I'm off.
I think he decides he's going before. Like when they go, what, ready, break? He's like, yo, yeah, this is all me. Like going to the line, 2 yard. Listen, fourth and two, that kid running that ball. So I will say B plus. Okay, bad Malik. Bad Malik, I'm going to answer this one, and then I'm going to go to the caller. Bad Malik, I still think bad Malik is a C-minus. Because bad Malik can still run like the wind. Bad Malik is still a functional passing quarterback. Like, he doesn't just toss ducks all over the field. Like, bad Malik, it looks bad when he misses somebody because somebody's open. But I don't think he just throws, like, super – I don't think – bad Malik is C-minus, and I don't think he just turns over the ball. Like, I think the turnovers and when he had them were just, like, worse than the amount of turnovers he had, kind of, you know? And like I said, we talked about it a thousand times, 10 turnovers, and 4 of them aren't his fault, you know what I'm saying? But he still gets heat on them, so now we're down to 6, and then 2 of them are freak turnovers, so you're like, 5 good, valuable, like costly turnovers is still bad quarterback play, but not enough to like D and F him. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because he still had respectable numbers without the turnover. So, yeah, C minus minus for bad Malik. Okay. This is his third year. When we go to his clips, at the end of his clips, I'm going to ask the question, do you have a elevated confidence rating for Malik after listening to him? So I want everybody to listen to him closely. But first, let me hit the phone lines. Who we got hanging on?
Carlos.
Carlos, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maven. Fire away, my man.
Hey, Marcus, man, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, allow me, please, to apologize to you guys. I called in the last time, and I was enjoying the show so much, I didn't want to interrupt your flow. And Marcus, you know, I got to give you credit. You called me out, brother. That's all good. Ain't no big deal, okay? I accept that, all right? But you were talking about Malik. You know, I give Malik a B-plus overall in his performance. And the reason why I'd give him a B-plus, when you're talking about bad Malik and some of the mistakes that he's made, I have to give him a C-plus simply because of the fact that a lot of times it's a position that he's put in from mistakes that are made from the offensive line. Sometimes I don't agree with his reads on defense. I don't think he's that good a defensive reader when pressure comes on. But what helps him so much is his athleticism. He is so quick, so fast, and I think he rushes when he uses his legs in regards to making decisions and makes mistakes. I think this year you're going to see a better Malik. I think this year you're going to see his draft stock raised. Right now, I would say he's a third or fourth round pick.
Wait a minute. I got to slip in two questions. First, why do you think just time is going to make him better? And number two, why are we always so addicted to his college performance and adding professional draft stock to it? You know what I'm saying? Because I was trying to separate draft stock because, you know, they like a certain kind of quarterback versus what kind of quarterback you are in college.
Okay. Talent-wise is what I am basing his draft stock on right now and the direction that the NFL is going in. Now, as far as, and I know you're trying to separate the two from his college performances, however, you got to include his draft stock simply because of the fact that if you look at his talent, Marcus, he has the talent, truthfully, in the upswing and growth potential to be a good quarterback in the NFL. But this is going to be the year that actually tells the tale as to where he's going to go in the NFL, if it's possible for him to play in the NFL, or even if he's going to be able to play in the CFL. I think he's an NFL quarterback based on his talent. If you look at the accomplishment and comparison him to Lamar, there's night and day. Lamar's a Heisman Trophy quarterback. But you also got to look at the system that Lamar was in, and you look at the talent that this kid has. He has the potential to be a good quarterback based on his athleticism. But this year is going to tell the tale. He has a better offensive line. He's been in the system longer. I think that he's going to make better decisions this year based on what the play calling is going to be with the coach right now. So there's a lot of things that is contingency in regards to what he's going to do and what he's going to be capable of doing this year. I truly believe he's going to be a good quarterback, and you're going to see a huge difference in this guy this year.
Carlos, listen, I do appreciate the call. I appreciate the breakdown. YouTube, I'm sorry. Brian, I had to mute it the whole time.
I know. Since we got a text about it.
I have 12 Ross texts. Did. I have 12 texts.
Yeah, Ross said it's been muted for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I screwed that up. Okay, so Malik Cunningham.
All right, so my opinion of Malik, real quick, before we get into it, is he was great 2 years ago. He took a step back, almost regressed last year. But I feel like, you know, kind of what Carlos was saying, that there was variables that technically he couldn't control in certain situations. Mm-hmm. I think he outperformed himself the first year. Then I think he underperformed. I think he's somewhere kind of in the middle is where his normal ground is. I think, like you said, he's an athlete. And I think that he can make up for some things in athletes, but I think where he lacks is the reads, like Carlos was saying, and being a quarterback that reads, because I think he kind of rushes through his reads, and then if he doesn't have something that pops out within the first like 3 seconds or so, he just immediately resorts to his athletic ability and goes for the run.
And I disagree with Carlos a little bit. Like, I think he put his line in a bad position sometimes.
Yeah.
Like by scrambling
getting
too quick
out of the pocket.
Yeah, like, dude, it's there. The pocket's there. You gotta drop back deeper and climb up in it when you pass it.
I agree and disagree with Carlos in that sense, because I do feel like the offensive line has always been one of our issues. I think it could be one of our strengths this year, but it has been one of our issues. So I do understand when you don't have a good offensive line, puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but I also understand that a scrambling quarterback who rushes out of the pocket is also not helping his offensive line.
Listen, but I think, again, that's why I think, you know, when I talk about other coaches, listen, you don't get hired to the Atlanta Falcons unless they see something going on with that line that's a good job. Like I said.
I think him, like, trusting the offensive line a little bit more will help him, because I think what it is he gets into the pocket, he gets a little bit of pressure from one side or the other and immediately just resorts to run. Whereas, you know, if I were, you know, Satterfield and some of these other guys working with him, I'd be like, no, you can't scramble for a while. You got to stay in the pocket. And, like, I would get him used to throwing with somebody right on his back or something like that.
It's almost impossible to coach him out of that. Go ahead and hit one, because this is what we're going to do. Okay, we're gonna check confidence level at the end of some of his questions. Go ahead and hit one.
It's been going pretty good. I mean, turnover is not something that you can practice or work on. Just, I would say, decision-making and just like a lot of film, just knowing the tendencies of different defenses and check the ball down when I need to. Turnover is not something you can really work on in the offseason besides, like, watching film. Well, in my eyes, you can't really do much about that. You just got to be smart with the football this upcoming season, and that's what I'm working to do.
I don't like that answer. I need him to say there's been a huge emphasis on ball security inside the pocket, outside the pocket. But here's the problem, Brian. My athletic brain says the moment you start thinking about turnovers is when you start turning the ball over and you start slowing down.
Oh, yeah.
So part of me wants to say, one of those coaches are wise enough and confident enough to say, you got to let them boys run. Like, you can't get them thinking about, look, you're a four-star. You can run without turning the ball over. Just go do your thing. So
there's a fine line between, you know, letting him know that the turnovers are an issue, but letting it be too much on his mind.
You know, it's funny.
You got to let a player play.
I know. I used to describe Lamar Jackson the same way. Like, when he had the ball kind of out wide, right, I would say it's almost like, have you seen a cheetah run and then you ever look at their tail and then you realize their tail is what balances them and their tail swinging out wide? And you could imagine somebody saying, well, cheetah might be faster if it just kept its tail straight, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but no, it's like almost like when they run, sometimes they use the ball kind of, you know, or their arms swinging out is kind of a balancing thing. So yeah, I probably would have loved.
Are you gonna tell Barry Sanders he's got to tuck the ball more?
No, I'm gonna let all of them run, but I'm gonna just say, hey man, I'll say something like, we're gonna lose the game if you drop that football, but I'm not gonna sit around and like technique you to death. You know, the only person I ever seen change his entire running technique and stop fumbling was Tiki Barber. Ooh. You remember how he started?
Oh yeah,
how he started running with that ball like really, really.
Tiki was good,
right? But he was a fumble head in the beginning.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, what?
He had a playing time pulled occasionally for fumbles.
Yes, he was the only person I ever seen totally change their running style, and it looked so funny, but he could run. So, yeah, Tiki Barber was the one. Okay, so I'm going to grade that.
Answer two might make you feel a little better.
I'm going to grade answer one. Golly, I don't want to pull a Brian Hall. To be determined. No. I don't like it. C minus for the first. No, I don't know. Let's think about that one. Next one. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think about it every day. Every day I wake up, I think about some of those turnovers that, or even when I watch film, some of those turnovers that I left out there that I should not have thrown. And you just gotta learn from it. Like you said, build fuel to me, and just go out there with a better mindset, and just know every day that I can get better at working on something, and not just try not to think about those turnovers.
Okay, both scores
like
are
that
B.
One better?
You know what? That one made the first one sound a little better to my ears, because that means they're still confident in him, and he's confident, because they're not harping on just all day long ball security, make a better decision, make a better decision. He knows you screwed up with those turnovers big time.
Sounds like the coaching staff is trying to do exactly what we said, where we want you to be aware that the turnovers are an issue, but we want you to play your game.
We still want you to let it go. What's it, grip it and rip it? You know, like all that good stuff. Like, you still got to let go of the football.
Because, you know, like, as much as everybody, I mean, every Louisville fan's aware that Lee Cunningham needs to work on his turnovers. He's aware of that. But at the same time, you don't want to beat a dead horse because you don't want to kill his confidence. Yep. And you don't, because we could be the downfall for Malik in the sense that we're sitting here ragging on him for turnovers and he's greatly improved.
Right.
And then the very first game, we have a freak accident where somebody just pops the ball at the right time. You get a fumble and he's holding the ball the right way.
Yes. Boo! Get out of here!
That's what I'm saying. I mean, as soon as the first – if he has a turnover in the first game, everybody's going to get very upset. And it's a thing where he may be better. He may be better at it. But if he has that, it could set the tone for the rest of the season. And that's like – so the fan base needs to understand that. And even though we know it's an issue, we know he's working on it. We know he knows it's an issue. But just kind of, you know, bear with him.
I got a good confirmation on a guest we're going to be getting here soon. Okay, so I do feel a little better when I hear the second answer. Okay, hit number three.
It's actually like a blessing in my eyes because those guys stayed down for a long time. And we all came in together, and now it's their time to show everybody, show Card Nation and the world, like what they're capable of doing. I mean, not just those two. We got Braden. A guy who played a little bit for last year, Jordan Watkins, Shaw Wirtz, Tyler Harrell is going to stretch the field for us. And those guys, like I said, I've been putting a lot of time with those guys in the film room and out on the practice field, even outside of days that we work on. Like I said, just being together, that brings a lot. That brings a lot to the table. And I'm ready to see what those guys do this year.
Let's have this quick conversation, Brian, because – this is a quick conversation we got to have. Brian, you know what people reach for the most with me when they say I get hype about my team? You know what example everyone loves to reach for? I thought after Lamar Jackson left that Bobby Petrino was going to utilize short yardage, and you know, we were so Lamar Jackson centric, right, that I thought he was going to change the offense a bit, shorter passes, you know, you didn't have that explosion. So I legitimately thought the offense was going to change into, not completely change, but just use the shorter stuff, the move the chain stuff, right? Would we say that was the year that Bobby Petrino was pretty much checked out?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was like an anomaly as far as his coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had seen him make adjustments. I had seen him change the way different teams played. You know, like when he didn't have a Lamar, I saw the way he you know, the offense looked different when Reggie was in versus Lamar versus Will Stein or whoever. We've watched Bobby Petrino adapt with different quarterbacks, right? It's fair to say he didn't adapt like he normally does with the Puma pass year, right?
Agreed.
The 2-10. So that is like my biggest miss, thinking he would adapt. First and foremost, is that a legitimate excuse for me to be wrong about a team? The fact that his whole personal life was falling apart behind the scenes?
Right.
You would think I would get kind of a pass. Like, yeah, it's like saying this basketball team this past year was going to be better than people thought, and we had the most missed games from COVID in history.
Well, talking about the past year, too, it's one of those things where did you think that – and I literally just thought about this. Do you kind of think that he tried to make pass adapt to his offense as opposed to
yes.
him adapting to pass? Because – I personally felt like he was trying to make pass almost like a running quarterback at times, well, because that's what he was used to, having a guy who could get out of the pocket, who could scramble, and pass seemed more like a pocket passer.
A pocket passer, a downhill runner, you know what I'm saying? Big, strong, get a couple yards. You know,
which is not the style that Petrino's had here before.
Right. He has had it before, but not like Lamar level.
Yes.
Like, you know, like he had some more run. You know, he
was trying to make pass into more of a Lamar than him changing back to more of a Brian Brahm offense.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly my point. Like, pass was much better at being a Will Stein. You know, I'm saying Will Stein. I don't know why his name got stuck in my head. Pass. We're already at 11 o'clock. Brian.
Yeah.
Please, Sal, what are we doing?
I thought you wanted to go for the wall.
No. We got a caller coming up at 11 o'clock. I didn't get the message, but let's hit this. It's going to be a quick commercial break. We got an announcement coming up. I think I just got a message from Rummage. So we'll see. I got to catch up. Producer, I'm blaming this one all on you. You're the timekeeper. You got caught up in the show too, didn't you?
Yeah, but I'm not 100% that we had a guest at 11.
Well, change of plans. Well, we'll adapt. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maybin on 939 The Ville.